Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 27, verses 1 through 14, and that's the entirety of the psalm. A psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should arise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall set me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing. Yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses have risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and eternal word. I don't know if you've ever been around anybody that's spiritually hungry or not. If you haven't been, I hope you meet him very quick. Because spiritual hunger is a thing that can be contagious. If you're around people who are seeking the Lord and wanting the Lord and reaching out for the Lord, and that's the kind of people you ought to cultivate to be around, by the way. But if you're around those kind of people that are seeking the Lord, that have a sincere and deep desire down in their hearts, to reach out and touch the Lord and be touched by the Lord, brothers and sisters, that's contagious. It'll catch from one bosom to the other, as the old people used to say. It'll catch in your heart and your mind, and you'll see what God is doing in this person's life, and you'll have faith to believe that God's doing it in this person's life. And God moves in those ways to do that. You'll notice sometimes a member of a family will get saved and find the Lord. First thing you know, another member has got, and it'll go through maybe five or six people in the family, and they'll turn to the Lord. Happens at places people work. Happens at church houses. So maybe a spiritual awakening will happen in one person's life, and that person will so inspire everybody else that a spiritual hunger will take place in the hearts of the church. I've done a lot of research over the last few years and studied and thought and prayed, studying the roots of our Pentecostal heritage, studying the roots of who we came from and how we got here and why we are here. And when I look back to those people, that revival that broke out in Pulaski in 1916-17, 300 people in one winter got saved in the Pentecostal Holiness Church in Pulaski. That revival spread down the river to Merrimack and McCoy and Spruce Run and caught fire to a little holiness lady that walked up the railroad from Eggleston to go to those services and ultimately landed up here. That's the way the fire went. Did you ever watch those fires burning on television out west? Or maybe you fought a forest fire here, and it's not anything to sneeze at, I tell you. A fire burning up these mountains in the leaves and the laurel bushes and all that, it's a terrible thing. But the fire can be burning here, and all at once over here the fire's burning. And you say, how did it get over there? How did that fire do it? Well, the sparks fly up, and the fire flies up, and as the wind blows, and all those things happen, it moves. And as it moves, the fire is spread one to another. Very often, community will be experiencing not any great revival or anything. And then some little preacher will come along preaching the word. Somebody will come along with a tent meeting. Somebody will come along and just stand on the side of the road. Or like Brother Kyle Dent that we talked about yesterday at his service. Or like Brother Kyle carry his guitar when he went to the flea market and take the opportunity to play a song and get somebody to listen, and then God catches on, right? Amen. Amen. Well, you read this psalm here, and what does the Lord say? He said, "Seek ye my face." Now, sometimes I think we just skip over the words in the Bible. We don't actually stop to see what they're talking about or what they actually mean. What do we mean when we say, seek the face of God? Well, to tell you the truth, how many people have been face to face with God? How many people can walk in? Let me ask you this. Now, don't get your politics in this. How many of you can walk in to the White House and speak to the President of the United States face to face? How many of you can walk in the Vatican and speak to the Pope face to face? You can't do it. There's a barrier there between you and those persons. There's a barrier between us and God, and it's called sin. And we have to come to the place that we seek the face of God. Oh God, I want to see you. Oh God, I want to be in face to face with you. I know some people that asked that question. One of them's name was Moses. And I have to tell you something about Moses. If anybody was ever close to God, it was Moses. Moses, the fact is, God seldom and almost never spoke with anybody like he did Moses. And he had Moses build a special tent separated from all the other tents by itself. It's called the Tent of Meeting. It's like we have a meeting house. And the tent of meeting was filled with the glory of God. And Moses would go down and say, jump right in the middle of it. Oh, no. Let me tell you something, my friend. When you go in to see a person of power and authority, you don't go in like a bull in a china shop. And we don't go in to the church. We had a lady in the church years ago, and they called her to come and pray for another sister in the church. And the other sister was very sick. And the sister that went was a very good lady. But she took on more territory than I'm willing to. Because she walked in and said, now God, here's so-and-so the sick, and we're not going to have this, God. We're just not going to have it. Well, you talk to God that way if you want to, but I won't. Because I respect the personage of God. And I respect who he is. But at any rate, he says to us, to seek the face of God. So we say, well, Moses certainly did seek the face of God. Yes, he did. And he was close to God. So close that the glory of God was reflected out of his face. They had to put a veil down over Moses' face because they couldn't look at him. He had been on the mountain in the presence of God, and he had this tent of meeting. Go back and read about it. And he had this tent of meeting. He would go down and stand in the door. That's how close he got. Moses could stand in the door and talk to God. Now, when God talked to him and they talked to each other, he says, Moses says, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. I want to see your power. I want you to move and to see what's happening, what's going on. And you know what God said? He said, you cannot see my face. Now think about it. God is telling Moses, you cannot see my face. But Psalm 27, he's saying, seek my face. How do we reconcile those two? What do we think about that? Well, I'll tell you what. He said, thou cannot see my face, and no man can see my face, says the Lord. Wow. And what? Can you see the face of God? It's possible. He wouldn't tell you to seek it if it wasn't possible. He wouldn't say this if it wasn't possible. And he says, you cannot see my face because no man can see the face of God and what? Live. The only people that can see God's face are dead. The only people that can get breakthrough from this world's encumbrances into the glory of God are those people who are dead. And you say, well, this is not any use to seek the face of the Lord then. Well, someday, sometime, I guess we'll die and then we'll get to see the face of God. That's all well and true. But I can tell you, my friend, it's possible for you to seek the face of God. Are you hungry for God? Do you really want a great big old fistful of God? Do you want a great hunger in your soul to be filled with the power of God and the moving of the Holy Spirit? Well, let me tell you about this. Only the dead can see God. How many of us are dead and how many of us are alive? Now, I don't mean dead in trespasses and sin. I mean dead to the world, dead to what's out there, so that when you walk in to see God. Now, Esther, how many of us know who Esther is? Yeah, Esther's a queen. She's the next thing to the king. But she, even Queen Esther, could not walk in to the presence of the king of Persia and stand in front of his face without being the proper person that she should be. She cannot stand there unless she prepares herself to see them. I have to tell you, folks, most of the ways people dress in America today, you could not get in to see Queen Elizabeth. You could not get in to see the Pope. You could not see many people in places of dignitary and power because you have not made preparation. Queen Esther knows that she's going before the king. She wants the power to stand in his face and see the king face to face. She wants to meet with him. What does she do? She tells everybody, let's go on a fast. They begin to fast 3 days. They begin to pray. They begin to seek God so that when she walks in, she don't grab up just any old rag that's hanging over the coat rack. She puts on the best robe and the best shoes. She puts on the best cologne and the best perfumes and the best oils. She has herself perfected in every way. And when she walks in and stands at the door and looks at the king sitting on the throne, the king looks down at her. And because she has prepared herself, because she has sought his face to see him, he looks at her with compassion and extends the scepter of his power to her and invites her into his presence. Wouldn't you like to be invited into the presence of God? It's possible to be, but you've got to seek his face. Do you really want to see God? Now, let me tell you something, folks. You're not going to drag your honky-tonk on Saturday night into the church house on Sunday morning and call it seeking the face of God. You're not going to go out and indulge in sin all week and then come to the church house on the Lord's Day morning and put yourself up to see God. But even more than that, my friend, what if it's not here? What if it's not the meeting here? because there's going to be plenty of meetings in this building and every other church building in America and the world where the face of God is not seen, where the face of God is not even sought. They have a form of religion. They go through all of the antics of religion. But my brothers and sisters, for you to walk in the presence of God, you have to desire. And he said, seek ye my face. Are you trying to be able to stand in the presence of the Almighty God, the man who created everything, who knows everything? Sometimes when I go to God and I go to pray, I stop myself because I'll start out giving God the diagnosis, giving God the prognosis, giving God all the details. Now, God, you know this and this and this and this. Listen, folks, God knows everything there is to know. I don't have to go to God and explain to him that I have Parkinson's disease. He knows all about it. I don't have to go to God and explain to him that this hip wants to get out of joint and hurt every time you do something. I don't have to explain to him to that. He knows all of that. There's a whole bunch of things. You may not want God to know everything about you. You may not like the fact. Fact is, I can remember in my life before I was a Christian, you have to remember, I became a Christian when I was 14. But before I was a Christian, I can remember a time in my life when I'd see Sister Effie stand up to preach and she'd say, God knows your heart. And I'd say, oh. And then they'd sing, watching you, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. Oh my goodness. God knows everything about me? Yes, he does. He knows everything I've done and more. He knows everything I've thought. He knows my intentions. That's good and that's bad. If your intentions are good, that's wonderful. Like David wanted to build a house of God. Circumstances in his life kept him from it. But God said you'll receive the reward because it was in your heart to do it. God knows your heart. And yes, there is an all-seeing eye watching you. But my friends, when you come to seek the face of God, what do we need to do? Well, make a little preparation. You say, well, Moses was going out to the tent of meeting. Yes, and God said he could come up the mountain so far, and he was going to give him the commandments written in stone. This was the second time around, by the way. And he was giving him the commandments that were written in stone. And when he got out there, and oh, Moses just wanted more. I understand that. I think God understood that. Moses wanted more. More God, let me see your glory. Let me see your face. Let me see who you are. Moses, don't you know no one can see my face and live? Only dead people can see God. Now, we're not talking about dead people in the cemetery. Only dead people can see God. Only dead people can be in the presence of God if you're going to seek the face of God. And so, Moses, you stand right here in the door and I'll talk to you. And then he took him up on the mountain. And Moses said, now we're here. I can go up on the mountain. I can see him. And you know what God said? Same thing. But he said, I'm going to stand beside you and put Moses here on a rock. And God said, I'm going to stand at your side. And when I pass by, you can see the glory. Now, God did not withhold his glory from Moses, but he did not show him his face either. He never saw God in the face. You know why I think you can't look God in the face? Because the brightness of the light is so intense. The brightness of the light is so great that you cannot look at it. It will blind you if you look at it. You cannot stand in the presence of God because you're in a sinful body. But my friend, there's coming a day, Christian person, there's coming a day that you're going to be separated from the things of this world, from the things that have troubled you and tormented you, from the things that you have had to wrestle with. Folks, admit it. You have to fight with your own flesh. You have to fight with your own thoughts. You have to fight with your own self. And you have to trust God to give you the victory over all of that that you're fighting with. The face of God. Are we seeking the face of God? Are we praying? You see, so much of our prayers are really a grocery list. Oh God, Sally needs shoes. Sammy needs a shirt. And oh God, Jake needs a job. And oh God, my old boss needs to be taught a lesson or two. And on and on and on. And we got this grocery list of things we go to God. Do you ever feel that way? When you go to God and you get down and you start to pray, let me tell you something. If there's a disaster going on, you really can cry out. You really can cry out. Our little granddaughter was having a grand mal seizure one day, and Ward and Mimi were backing out the driveway, hit the edge of the porch and knocked it off, trying to get to the hospital. And little Benji said, "Papa, why did you fall on the floor on your knees and say, 'Oh God, have mercy, oh God, have mercy'?" I said, "Son, that's all Papa knew to say. That's all I could say." Let me tell you, I didn't have to have a prayer book, and I didn't have to have instructions on how to pray. When I looked down in Mimi's arms and that little girl was bent back over backwards and having a grand mal seizure, my friend, I knew how to pray. That's all I had to say was, "Lord, have mercy." That was plenty. That was a plenty, and thank God he did have mercy and has had mercy. Thank God she's a grown lady and working and out. She's in Colorado right now. Thank God for what he did. Amen? But my brothers and sisters, what about your daily prayers? I mean, there's more to praying than, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." There's more to praying than that. There's more to praying than "God is great and God is good, and we thank him for his food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen." Brothers, there's nothing wrong with those two prayers I just said. There's nothing wrong with them theologically. But my friend, there's more to seeking the face of God than just saying some religious words. It's more to it than just repeating the Lord's Prayer or repeating the 23rd Psalm, none of which is wrong. Nothing wrong with it. Can be a wonderful thing. But my friend, when you come to seek the face of God, not in a religious ceremony, not in front of other people, but for your sake and God's, for your sake and God's, you come before him and you cry out to God and you seek the face of God. Do you ever watch the kids? Do you ever watch the little ones? They don't ask you once, do they? Maybe yours do. Ours never did. And the ones we got now don't either. And you know what they do? "Pawpaw, go play with me. Pawpaw, go play with me. Pawpaw, come on." Is that the way it goes at your house? Sure it does. That's the way children are. That's the way they do. We come before God, my friend. Let us not come just saying something somebody else said, just saying something somebody else wrote. Let us come before God and pour out our heart, pour out our spirit unto him. You hear him talk about, and we were taught that, folks, from the beginning. People talk about hearing people praying in the woods and in the mountains and all those things. Folks, that happened, and I thank God I was part of it. I remember never realizing that everybody else in the holla could hear me and that the word about it had spread everywhere. And people actually came up on the hill behind the house and sat in the woods to listen to me pray. They weren't used to anybody praying like that. They weren't used to anybody crying out in prayer. But my friend, if you're hungry, have you ever been hungry? You know, we're more hangry than we are hungry. We're mad if our hamburger don't get out there on time. You know, we some of us have been hungry. There's some people here that's been hungry a few times. But let me tell you something, folks. If you're really hungry, you'll cry out. If you're really hungry, you'll reach out. And the Lord has said, "Seek my face." Seek to be worthy to walk into the presence of God. Fact is, Isaiah, I think it was, he thought he was a dead man. Because he didn't actually see God. He saw him in a vision, but he didn't actually be there. And when he saw him, he said, oh, I'm going to perish because I have seen the Lord. I have seen God. I'm going to perish. My brothers and sisters, seek the Lord while he may be found, the scripture said. Call upon him while he is near. I challenge you, my friend. You don't have to pray so loud that you'll be heard all over the county. But my friend, I don't know if how long that would work, going to your wife or your girlfriend and saying, I love you, honey. Oh, that's okay once in a while to whisper in her ear and say that. But my friend, she'd like to hear it. And then you say, well, God knows our heart. That's a good thing. God knows our heart. And he knows whether we are or whether we aren't. And he knows us if we're crying out or if we're not crying out. So today when you go home, you look at the 30th chapter of Exodus and the 20th verse and find out that only dead men can see God. You say, well, you're not dead. I'm trying to be. That's why he said, mortify. Ooh, mortify. That's a familiar term. That's like mortuary or mortician. Yeah, mortify what? The deeds of this body, the deeds of this flesh. My friend, put on your best robe. Put on your best smelling perfume. Anoint your hair with the best oil. Wash your hands in the best water. And my friend, stand before God, unworthy as we are, but as he sees your effort at reaching for his face, I want to see God. I want to see God. God, I want to see you. Moses is saying that. And let me tell you something. You know what Moses and them had done when God was going to give them the Ten Commandments? He said, all of you take a bath. Exactly what he said. Every Israelite there had to wash head to toe. Every Israelite there had to take their clothes to the wash place and wash their clothes. Every Israelite there had to abstain from any fleshly things going on with their wives and husbands, girlfriends, or whatever. My friend, everybody had to withdraw and separate themselves to the glory of God. And then God came down on the mountain and wrote the commandments on the tables of stone. Today, my friend, if you'd like to seek the face of God, think about what Queen Esther went through to see the king. Think about what Moses went through to get the Ten Commandments. And whatever you do, make yourself available for God to move. Amen. Father, I pray that the Spirit of the living God will take the words of the message today. And I pray, Father, that you'll speak to our hearts. Open our souls and minds up, Father, that we may find ourselves seeking the face of God, that we may find ourselves looking for God to move, expecting to hear from heaven. Help us, so, Father, to be willing to sanctify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves, and to walk humbly before God. Heavenly Father, we humbly ask it in Jesus' precious and eternal name. Amen.